I would like to discuss some of your comments that you made during the Be the Media workshop, Media for Environmental Organizing, that the Sanctuary hosted a couple weeks ago. So, in the workshop, you stated that it is hard to document a story when you are living it, and that Black, Indigenous, people of color are oftentimes perceived as biased or overly emotional if they share from their personal perspective. Although difficult, in your opinion, why is it important for the people most directly affected, those living through these situations, to be the voice that is heard? And why must their perspective be not only included in the conversation, but prioritized?
Yeah, well, great question. Thank you for capturing that from the talk. And you know, it's been a large focus of my work with Nuestra Palabra. And the main reason that it's important for anyone to tell their own story, but particularly communities of color and impacted communities, primarily is because they've been prevented from doing so for centuries. And what happens is a deficit of knowledge that hurts everyone. The world is not monolithic, it's not linear, and we need a diversity of points of view and perspectives and understanding for this world to work, for us to be able to live in harmony. And, you know, that can't happen if you have one community telling everyone else's stories from their perspective. And, you know, for too long, that's what we've had in this country and so many others because of colonization, because of lack of access to higher ed, because of racism, because of so many things. And it's an incomplete story if we leave anyone out. And I think even, you know, what's more difficult is to capture the stories of the four-legged animals and, you know, the winged animals and our plants. And even though there have been attempts at that, even within each culture, there are different ways of communicating with all of those other living beings. So those are things, you know, to consider. And each culture and each community has developed ways of understanding, communicating, and expressing those conversations, those realities. So if we don't have those, then it's just, what a sad, boring world.
On this point of including a multiplicity of perspectives, also in the workshop, you discussed the importance of the need for specifically local media to change because, you know, there's a lack of Indigenous voices. You rarely see people of color represented. So, how would you personally like to see these changes accomplished and a transition in who's represented in local media? Perhaps addressing why you think local media is so important for this change.
Yeah, I mean, I think we form a lot of our biases and prejudices because of the local news. And from day one, it's the one thing culturally that happens almost as consistently as the sun and the moon every day. You know, there's like news in the morning, news midday, news at night. And it's been so terribly told by one perspective, and a perspective that, you know, has been racist and has been to serve capital and to serve white supremacy. So I think for me, I see that as the most frustrating news that I have to watch, that I know so many children are watching and being shaped by every day, because it's so consistent. You know, it reinforces all of the negative stereotypes of poor communities of color, uneducated, all of the vulnerable populations are not portrayed well in media. And that's a problem. And, you know, just putting a Black correspondent or a Brown correspondent behind the microphone isn't really what needs to change. What needs to change is the type of news that we share on a daily basis. A lot of the news that we get doesn't empower us, doesn't empower the community for positive change. Maybe on its strongest level, it's informative, but what it informs us of is to be scared, to be afraid, and it even encourages violence and arguments, doesn't encourage conversation, doesn't encourage learning. It encourages, you know, the opposite, just to be loud, to be without any kind of thought or logic or intent for progress, right? For human progress. It's simply like pits people against each other. It's binary and often too short to really be effective at helping cultivate a community that is collective, that is trying to deal with the hard questions of so many people living together in a constructive way.
So on your note about the importance of empowering communities for positive change, in the workshop, you addressed how, with your experience of independent media work and specifically The Condor and the Eagle, you experienced a greater feeling of being connected with your Indigenous relatives, and you experienced the beautiful ways in which Indigenous communities have learned to cope with these environmental issues. You mentioned music, dance, ceremony, family. Can you expand upon the importance of these moments of beauty and strength and how they affect these communities and individuals that are facing these issues of environmental racism?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, again, like all of this is connected to the things that I have said before. If you think about the ways that we would try to deal with these problems in our society right now, it would be possibly therapy, you know, psychological therapy, emotional therapy, physical therapy, drugs, many of which are transactional, many of which are based on, again, like a Eurocentric way of thinking about trauma and harm and human development, that is just one way of being, right? That doesn't always work or make sense to everyone. And I know that all of those forms of medicine have helped people. But what I think has been most helpful for me have been connections that go deeper than a pill that is effectively, you know, changing my chemical makeup in my body, which I would say is like a form of manipulation, because it's something exterior being put into your body to force your body to respond a certain way. But a way that I think is more organic, and ways that I've seen and experienced through Indigenous ceremonies, are practices that stimulate the body to effectively change your chemistry in an organic way through a natural process, because of the ritual of the ceremony, or because of the fellowship during ceremony, or because of the sacrifice during ceremony. And oftentimes they are not transactional, but relational, right? So you're oftentimes not by yourself, but you're with other people. You are doing something physical. You are also celebrating by singing or playing. Sometimes it's a sport, sometimes it's a drum, sometimes it's an activity like running. But it's much more nuanced, and it's much more connected to how the body communicates, you know, with the exterior world. And you're not just injecting something into your body to force it to respond to, you know, this invasion, but rather you're working with the body, you're creating and nurturing the body so that it can heal itself, so that it can respond in a way that will bring you peace. And that can be, you know, a physical illness, could be a spiritual or emotional illness. But those are the types of healing practices that I don't see in Western culture. And I think it's, again, a loss for all of us.